Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Motormouth F1 podcast with me, Tim Silvey. Now, many of us race fans once had a dream to be a racing driver. I know that when I was a kid, I wanted to be an astronaut, a rock star, or an F1 driver. And I'm pretty sure I'm not alone. Some people, the few, go on to be an F1 driver, but that is exceptional. Others will start in karts, make their way up the ladder a few places, then fade. Others, like today's guest, turn their dreams into reality and race in hugely powerful machines, doing it successfully, traveling the world, living the dream. They are the lucky few. Of course, like anything, it has its pressures. And we're here to learn what it's really like to be a top racing driver. I really hope you enjoy the show today. If you've got any questions, feel free to get in touch through our socials or send me a voice note to ts@motormouth-media.com. And we'll respond to those in a future episode. We've got loads of exciting things coming up, including next week, the Formula E world champion, Jake Dennis. So make sure to subscribe to be the first to hear that one. But for now, let's go meet the man behind the wheel for today, Porsche Carrera Cup GB Pro-Am champion, Josh Stanton. Josh, welcome to the show. How are you? Where are you joining us from today?
Oh yeah, thanks for having me. I'm actually at home, which is quite a nice change. I normally live in London, but I'm working from home today. So nice to be back in the countryside.
So where's home? Is this parents' home, presumably?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, in the Cotswolds. Nice bit of countryside.
I'm obsessed with the Cotswolds. Whereabouts?
A little village called Burford. Quite a change from the city in London, but it's a welcome change sometimes.
God, what a place to grow up. I love it there. Now, I'm really pleased we had you on the show. Before we hit record, I was doing a little bit of research into you. I don't know whether you know these statistics, but they're mighty impressive. So how up to date this is, I don't know, but it should be fairly accurate. So races started 81, races entered 82. I don't know how that works. Wins 19, podiums 35, pole positions 9, fastest laps 21, race win percentage 23.5, and podium percentage 43.2, which is amazing. Were you aware of all those statistics?
I wasn't, no, actually, but saying them back, it's quite nice to hear, actually.
It's very, very impressive. I got these on Driver Database, actually, which is relaunched recently, and they give drivers a sort of an indexed score, and you're right up there. Your win percentage is right up there. So Josh, let's go back a little bit. You've mentioned you're from the Cotswolds. Let's talk a little bit about your childhood. What's shaped you? What's made you the individual that you are today from a character perspective, first of all?
I mean, yeah, I've been incredibly lucky to have a really nice upbringing. My parents have have treated my brother and I wherever they can, and kind of pushed us in the direction that we want to go. Was very lucky to go to a lovely school and have good friends, and I think I've been very lucky from that point of view. And then from a racing point of view, you know, it's my dad has always had a love of cars. He did a little bit of racing when he was younger, so I've always been kind of around, and I remember some of my youngest memories being in the paddock in Alton Park, sat in his lap in his TVR Tuscan. So he always has loved cars, and when I mentioned I wanted to have, you know, give karting a go, luckily we've got a karting track, you know, 5 minutes away, which is a proper kind of national level karting track. So we went down there, had a little look around, and somehow it spiraled to this. But yeah, I've been incredibly lucky for sure.
Do you remember those first early karting experiences and whether you sort of took to it like a duck to water, or whether it took a little bit of practice?
Yeah, I do. And if I'm quite honest, I wasn't like some stories that you hear where you just, you know, you get in the kart and drive off into the distance and the rest is history. I, you know, seriously had to work at it, and we had some pretty tough results early on and times where I thought, you know what, this isn't for me. I don't think I've quite got this. But then as time progresses and you start to increase your experience and you start to learn and your racecraft improves, etc., that's then where obviously you start to become a little bit more happy in your results and the belief starts to come that actually you can do it.
Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit about your racing these days. What do you race in? What have you raced in the last couple of years? I know that it's Porsche, but let us know for our listeners exactly what the championship is. Paint a picture of it for us. What are the cars like? What are the characteristics of those cars from a driving perspective?
Yeah, so I currently race in Porsche Carrera Cup GB, so a sport category to the British Touring Car Championship. They're amazing cars, not your standard GT3 car, which you typically see on a GT3 weekend. They're a car that's as quick as a GT3 car in a straight line, often sometimes a bit faster, but with less aero, no ABS, no traction control, none of the electronic kind of gubbins that the modern GT3 cars have. So it's a really raw driving experience. So obviously learning the braking technique, how to pick up the throttle, how to drive the car aggressively but also smoothly. And they're also sprint races, which is quite different to your typical kind of GT3 race. You know, our races are 25 minutes long, so it's really aggressive, really punchy, proper racing. It's kind of karting, but big boy style, if you will, on a professional scale. So, yeah, they're phenomenal cars. And I've been very lucky to race them out in Europe as well, in Porsche Southern Europe, which is an amazing experience out there, driving some proper circuits, which has been really cool. Was very lucky to do one round of Porsche Super Cup last year at the Grand Prix at Silverstone, which was an experience I'll never forget. It was really, really special, and nice to be fighting it out with, you know, these guys are the best in the world at it, so you kind of know really where you stand when you're up against them. And then I've been very lucky as well recently to race a historic car that one of my sponsors owns, Grace and Pace 59. So they are a historic restoration company that specialise in Lotuses. So they have a gorgeous 1958 Lotus 11, and I raced that at Silverstone a couple of weeks ago. So been very, very lucky with the cars that I've driven at the moment. So yeah, it's a bit of a dream come true, that's for sure.
I was looking at your social media earlier and I saw some of the footage of the 1958 Lotus 11 that you drove there. That must be quite a departure from the Porsche that you drive. Do you have to adapt your driving style somewhat to account for the slightly less evolved technology within that vehicle?
Enormously. I remember the first time I drove it, actually, I left foot brake in the Porsche because we don't have a clutch that we use when changing gear. So pulled out of the pit lane in the Lotus, it was at Castle Combe, actually, and arrived at the first corner, braked, and suddenly thought, oh God, I've got to change gear. So, you know, had to swap over to right foot braking, heel and toeing, you know, completely back to the drawing board in terms of technique, which was, it's quite a welcome change. It kind of, you really have to teach yourself backwards almost to, you know, momentum through the corner. You haven't got all of the power that you do in the Porsche or the downforce and the aero, etc. So you really have to kind of, you know, specifically focus on your line through the corner, maintaining your minimum speed, you know, sliding the car on four wheels like you see at Goodwood, kind of old school style. But yeah, it's been a really welcome change, actually. I loved it. We didn't have the luckiest of weekends. We had a bit of an issue with the engine, but I still came out of it with an enormous smile on my face. So yeah, something must have been going right.
Now, 2022 was a great year for you. Many of those podiums I mentioned earlier were achieved in that season. You won the championship last year, Pro-Am, 2022 Porsche Carrera Cup AM champion. Tell us about that. That must have been a bit of a breakthrough year for you.
Yeah, certainly. It's when I started off racing, I started off in minis and got straight into the mini JCWs, which are, for anyone that's driven them, knows how hard they are. People look and think, oh, it's just a mini. It really isn't. It's one of the hardest cars I've ever driven. And I struggled a bit in that. And, just top tens, didn't really get any kind of outstanding results. And then was lucky enough to manage to get onto the Porsche grid the next year through a really great deal and support. So then when we got there, it was kind of like, right, this is really now where I need to show what I can do. I had a good year in 21, had a few podiums, a few wins, which was great. And then in 22, I thought, right, we moved teams to JTR, Joe Tandy Racing, which is, of course, owned by Nick Tandy, Porsche factory driver. So I kind of had all the tools there that I needed, and they've been perfect. They've been spot on. So yeah, it was a breakthrough year for us. The setup of the car was perfect. My engineer Adam was perfect, and I had all the support I needed. So yeah, it was a pretty cool experience. I think we won 13 of the 16 races. That's a stat I do know. Yeah. And only didn't finish on the podium once because of a DNF. But yeah, it was a pretty special year winning the championship at Thruxton. All my family were there. It's kind of where a family home is down near Thruxton. So it was a pretty special year, I have to say.
And what about 2024? I know it sort of gets to that time of the year where you start looking at what you're going to do for the next year or two, tying in contracts, looking at sponsorships, and how you're going to achieve this race. What's the current situation with 2024?
I'm enormously lucky to have the support of the sponsors I do. Evolution, Grace and Pace 59, Autobred Direct, Porsche Tewkesbury. They've all been amazing in supporting me this year. And hopefully we're working with them at the moment to try and secure something for next year. The plan is obviously to stay in Porsches. I think that would be the sensible decision, and hopefully progress a bit further up through that. The experience that I had at the Porsche Super Cup was something, again, I'll never forget. So if the opportunity arose to do that again, I certainly would work hard in trying to raise a sponsorship to do that. But we'll see. We don't have anything confirmed as of yet, but Porsches are certainly the goal, that's for sure.
How do you find that whole sponsorship side of things? It's an area I'm fascinated by because I've worked in it for so long. It's been my sort of bread and butter for the last 18 years in Formula One sponsorship and some of the smaller categories as well. It's not an easy task. How have you managed that process?
I mean, we're a bit of a two-man team, really. My dad and I, we work really, really hard. Without him, I wouldn't be on the grid, full stop. But yeah, we work really, really hard. We both have 9-to-5 day jobs. So it's not a full-time thing for us. So, we get back from work. I get back from work in London. He's obviously here at home. And then it's straight on the emails, straight on, building proposals, trying to set up meetings, calls, get documents out to people, see if they're interested, and if they are, then really following up on that and personalising sponsorship packages to the company. That's certainly a lesson I've learned, is different companies have different requirements. Some might be very exposure driven, some might, for example, be very hospitality driven, and recognising that and being able to tailor your packages to that sponsor and making them feel that they are the most important part of your racing journey, which ultimately they are. What's 10 seconds out of my day to let someone have a look inside the car, or 2 minutes to let them sit inside the car? It's something they'll remember for years and years and years, whereas for me it's 2 minutes of my weekend. So that's certainly something I've learned early on, and to build those relationships with people is incredibly important. So yeah, in answer to your question, we work really hard at it. There's a lot more that goes on behind the scenes, but it's what allows us to go racing and do what we love. So
absolutely. And what is the day job?
I work as a mechanical engineer in London, so low carbon buildings, all that kind of stuff. It's really interesting. I enjoy it. I've got a degree in it from university, so that's what I do 9 to 5, and then lucky enough to race these amazing cars when I can.
I mean, that's the dream. Well, I suppose the real dream is to race cars full time as a professional. I mean, is that the ultimate goal?
Of course it is. I mean, that is the dream for anyone doing our sport. Ultimately, it's incredibly hard. There's, you know, however many people compete in our sport, and it's a small number, granted, but everyone wants to be getting paid, and there's not a huge amount of paid drives out there. The only real means that is achievable by a greater number of people is to be the pro driver for an AM. And that ultimately from that is that's how you'll progress then to become a full paid works driver. So that's certainly the next goal for us is to be the pro driver in a pairing. That's a really exciting prospect, and we've had a few conversations regarding that, but at the moment nothing, focusing on developing myself and keep growing in my career, and then maybe we'll look at sharing the car later down. But I quite like, you know, the sprint races and having the car to myself at the moment.
Now, you've been around long enough in racing now to learn the industry, maybe make some mistakes along the way and learn from those mistakes. Is there anything you'd have done differently in your journey so far? Or are you pretty happy with your body of work?
I mean, the one thing I look back on, and I, as you said, I'm fairly experienced now, but actually I still look at myself sometimes as quite inexperienced, because I didn't do the years of karting that so many did. I did 2 seasons of local club racing, essentially, up at my local kart track, and then went off to university and for GCSEs, A levels, and then university, and I didn't do any racing during that period. So I missed out on 8-9 years of racecraft, really. So that is something certainly that I've had to learn, and I'm still learning, that I probably missed out on early on in my career. I don't regret that, because I had the grades that I needed to go to university and get the job that I do now. But sometimes you see these people that have gone up through karting, European karting, world karting, etc., and they are now so well versed in the world.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
World of racecraft, they know exactly when to go for a move, when to hold off. I learned a lot of that during my championship year last year. But that would probably be the one thing sometimes that I look back on and maybe think, okay, maybe I could have done maybe a couple of seasons in the Coopers before I stepped into the JCWs. But then looking back on it, I was so lucky to get the opportunity to jump straight into a JCW that actually I don't regret that. So it's a bit of a catch 22. You take with one hand, you give with the other.
Yeah. What ingredients do you think make up a good racing driver? Is it something that, you know, anyone can pick up, and just with the right training and the right engineer, the right team around them, they can be a quick driver? Or what is there something else that makes people stand out and be those couple of tenths quicker than anyone else?
I think for anyone that's done racing or does it properly, I suppose there's an element of no fear to it. You know, you're never going around a track thinking, what if a wheel falls off? Which is one of the questions I get asked so often is, do you ever get scared? No, not really, because what's the point in being scared? You're obviously not doing your job well enough if you are. Obviously, there's an element of risk involved. Of course there is, and, you know, we do what we can to minimise that. But I think there is an element of maybe stupidity, I don't know, or whatever you could call it. But I think as long as you, like, for me, as I said, when I first started karting, it wasn't something that came immediately naturally to me. But I work incredibly hard at it. I'm always the last in the data office, first in the data office. My poor engineer is flat out with me the whole time. But because every time I get in the car, I want to know what I've done well, what I could have done differently. Every single time I go out, I ask for 3 points from my engineer and I get them written down on a piece of paper. 3 points in that session that I need to do better. And that stays it sits on my steering wheel before the session, so that when I go out in the next session, I've got those 3 points to look over. You know, some people, for example, might take racing for granted, which I try certainly not to. So making sure that I improve myself on every time I go out on track, I think is really important. And that, I think, helps in terms of the mindset that you always want to be better. So going back to what you said, what makes a racing driver, I think it is certainly that mindset that every time you want to beat everyone. You want to beat yourself, but you want to beat everyone. And I think that's quite important.
What's the best thing about being a racing driver?
Driving these amazing cars, the adrenaline, the thrill. I think genuinely I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't racing. I love my sport, but, you know, racing has been my passion now for so many years, and a job essentially for so many years. Driving these amazing cars, you never know what's going to come at the next turn. It's not the same monotonous thing over and over again. But it also gives that competitive edge. I'm incredibly competitive. I hate losing. I don't want to lose to anyone. So it's just that constant, you know, competitiveness. Even if you're not racing, you're testing, and there's someone out there in a similar car to you. Okay, I know that car is 2 seconds slower than me, so I need to be 2 seconds, 2.5 seconds quicker than it. Or you look back at previous times. Okay, the weather's fairly similar. Right, I need to beat that time. It's constant competitiveness, and I love that.
What about the worst things? What are the red flags, the things that people should, you know, imagine there's a, I don't know, there's a 10-year-old Josh out there who's doing quite well at karting and thinking about moving into cars at some point. What are the red flags that people should look out for if they're getting into racing?
Certainly, it's quite easy. It's quite a confidence game for sure. As is a lot of sport. But, you know, if you're having a rough patch, if the results aren't going your way, if you've made a mistake, your head's dropped, you'll start overthinking things. When you get in that downward spiral, it's quite hard to dig yourself back out of it. So that's certainly one thing I would be aware of, and one thing that I learned early on in my career. You know, you stick it in the gravel, whatever. You're trying. You put it in the gravel. Not beating yourself. Yep, be disappointed. Of course, we're going to be disappointed. We all would be. But trying not to beat yourself up about it. You know, you rectify it in the next session. Make sure that the next session you don't make the same mistake. And also just remembering the fact that you're so lucky to be driving these cars and doing this. So yes, be downbeat, but if a sponsor comes over to you or a spectator, a fan, whoever, you know, remember the situation that you're in. Remember that 5 years before that, I was the one, you know, asking to sit in Jason Plato's touring car, and I remember it specifically. So, and now I'm in that position. So kind of just reminding yourself that, you know, how incredibly lucky you are, and that you can enjoy it.
Yeah. No, that's solid advice. Now, presumably, you watch Formula One as a as a racing guy. You watch the pinnacle of the sport from a racing driver's perspective. How highly do you rate what Verstappen's doing at the moment? I mean, completely dominant to an absolutely obscene degree. How impressive, in your view, has he been this year?
Do you know what? I hate it. I hate the dominance. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's incredibly impressive. The guy's faultless. He doesn't make mistakes. However, the car is good. The car is very, very, very good. He is an incredible talent, but I want to see more of 2021, as I'm sure everyone does.
Yeah.
I would like Formula One to lean towards a more IndyCar spec setup, perhaps spec chassis, and then let the teams themselves develop engine, suspension, aero, all that kind of stuff. But the actual chassis of the car, I would like to see that as a spec part to get the teams closer, because at the moment there is a huge discrepancy and Red Bull have just checked out, and specifically Max.
But what does that say about Perez? I mean, you know, that car is amazing. It's, you know, another Newey masterpiece, and they've they've nailed so many aspects of it, from the DRS through to, you know, the aero and whatever. But what does that say about Sergio Perez? Because before he was teammates with Max, very well-respected driver, and it just seems like the curse of Max Verstappen. You go and be his teammate and you get annihilated and made to look a bit silly, and it can be hugely damaging or career-ending. Where does this put him from your perspective?
I think you can see it from two perspectives. If I, as I said, if I was Christian Horner, I would be fairly happy with where he is. There's no conflict in the team. It's quite a Lewis Valtteri situation. You know, there's no conflict. He's quite happily sat behind behind Max, but sometimes he is too far back. And I personally, this is the pinnacle of the sport, I don't think that's good enough. However, on the other side, I see it from a spectator's perspective, and I think, right, Sergio's got to go. In my eyes, he's got to go at the end of this year. Who would I bring in? I'd probably look outside the Red Bull Junior program, because I don't think there's anyone in there deserved of a seat. I don't know who I would look at. I certainly would look at Norris, but I don't think he's going anywhere. So maybe they'd have to find someone else. But I think he's got to go. In my opinion, I don't think he's doing a good enough job.
Yeah, it's so difficult, and you know, Sergio's not getting any younger. I mean, there's people like Liam Lawson, isn't there, floating around, but I don't know that, you know, it's the right time for him necessarily to go up against a multiple world champion. Agreed. Yet. But you know, then you've got, you know, Alex Albon, who's obviously been there and done it, but is now doing some wonderful things at Williams, and you know, I guess there's lots of names you could throw into the mix who could potentially challenge him a little bit. It just feels like it doesn't really matter who you throw in there. He's always going to beat that person into the ground. I mean, put aside like Red Bull Driver Academy programs and, you know, money is no object. If you could pick any driver to stick next to Max that you think could actually do as well as or even better him on occasion, who would you throw in there?
Lewis, final answer.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
It's got to be. There shouldn't be any argument about it.
Yeah, yeah. That would be a match made in heaven. Absolutely. Or hell. Yeah. Probably more hell.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't want to be the team manager in that situation.
Do you think we'll see more of the same next year?
No. I think that Red Bull chassis is too good. Yes, we will see more of the same next year. I think that Red Bull chassis is too good. I don't think we'll see any change, sadly, until 26. You know, Toto Wolff can talk as much as he wants and say that this car is awful, which is not good. But ultimately, it's not gonna change the pecking order. That car is too good. Max is gonna win the next couple of championships realistically, and I think it's gonna be damaging for the sport. Sadly, I don't think the viewership is gonna progress.
Well, exactly. I mean, 2021, everything was booming, and you know, we had huge excitement right up until the end of the season, and the TV numbers and the Drive to Survive was great, and it's definitely taken a hit. It's been very clear this year that the interest has tailed off, despite it actually being quite an interesting mid-pack and midfield. But we'll see how things pan out. Like you say, 2026 is the year to look out for, when there's obviously the big reset. Now, Josh, it's time for our final three, and we ask the same final three questions to all of our guests, and it throws up a myriad of answers. But I've actually, for today, for the first time in, I think, about 180 episodes, I've changed question two because I got bored of it. Question two used to be, how much of your success do you put down to hard work and how much is luck, basically, was the premise of the question. Mm-hmm. But it started throwing up a lot of similar answers. So I've binned it. So you've got a fresh one today. But the first one for you is, what's got you excited at this very moment? And it could be anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be sport related.
What has got me excited? I am going to probably keep it on the racing stage. Some of the conversations we've got potentially regarding next year, obviously I'm not going to disclose those, but I'm quite excited about where some of those could go, that's for sure. That's probably what's got me most excited at the moment. And as for the last couple of weeks, I'm a huge rugby fan, So watching the Rugby World Cup was pretty good. Enjoyed that. So sadly, that's on a bit of a dive now, but
yeah,
quite excited to see where England could go over the next year or so. That's for sure.
Yeah, with or without Borthwick, I'm not convinced by him. I find him irritating in press conferences. I don't like the way he talks. But anyway, that's not really a good reason to get rid of someone. Right, special question number two, the first one, and this is a tough one. I don't know what I'd say if I got this question, but I'm going to throw it at you anyway. What's one lesson your job, the racing, not your day job, has taught you that you think everyone should learn at some point in their life?
That is a good one. Don't beat yourself up too much. I know it's a professional sport, and it is, and it's incredibly high level, which it is. But sometimes you've got to remember a little bit of, you know, you only get one life, enjoy it. You've got to remember how lucky you are to be driving these cars. So many people would bite my hand off to be in the position I am in. So yes, be downheart, be downbeat, be disappointed when something goes wrong. And I learnt this from my dad, really. You know, go off, go and have a shower in the motorhome, go and do what you need to do, splash your face with some water, but when you come back out of there, right, what did I do wrong? Why did that happen? Let's make it better again. That's kind of, and it's the same in life. You get a knockdown, go and have 10 minutes, sort your head out, come back at it again, attack it again.
Love it. Final one for you. What are you scared of?
God, birds.
Birds? That's so weird. My wife is scared of birds because they've got spindly little legs that she thinks are going to snap. No, we ended up with, when we first had our first child, we had somehow one of the cats dragged a moorhen in through the cat flap. We live in the countryside. Dragged a moorhen in and it started flapping around the house and ended up in the nursery. And then there was feathers, there was blood, there was poo. It was a disaster. And I was in Abu Dhabi, so I couldn't do anything about it. And she had this moorhen shitting all around the house. So tell me, on earth are you scared of birds?
A traumatic experience as a child, strapped in the pram, feeding some ducks down at the river, and a load of them swarmed up onto me. And that was that, really. Hyde Park is an absolute nightmare. That's a massive no. But yeah, birds, chickens, ducks, pigeons, the works. I'll drive a car at 200 miles an hour, no problem. That doesn't faze me at all. Birds, there's a bird in the car, I'm out.
So if you're walking up to a little flock of, I don't know, friendly looking ducks at a pond, you just give them a wide berth?
Across the road.
My God. Well, fear of birds.
Yeah, not a fan at all.
The wonders never cease.
I actually took a seagull out once at Donington. And as I went down the craners, it was on the racing line, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Whatever, you steered into it.
Yeah, exactly. A small little wry smile, you know, serves you right. There you go, have that.
Well, it seems like an appropriate point to sign off. Josh, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I hope everyone's enjoyed it as well. We've got loads of exciting interviews coming up, including two guys who hope to be the next new Formula One team on the grid. They've got the money, they've got the desire. Let's see if they can do it. They're coming up in the next few weeks. We'll soon also be announcing the date of our next celebrity charity kart race, one for you to come to, Josh, that one. So stay tuned. Definitely. For that. For now, though, Josh, once again, huge thanks. It's goodbye from me. It's goodbye from Josh.
Thank you so much for listening to the Motormouth podcast. Do make sure you give us a follow on our socials, Twitter at Motormouth _, Instagram at Motormouth _official, and Facebook, just search Motormouth. You can also download the Motormouth app, where you can get exclusive video content from MMTV, create your own social profile to interact with other fans, and check up on all the latest happenings with whatever motorsport takes your fancy. We're also proud to be supporting the Brain Tumor Charity too, so make sure you check the links in the podcast description to find out how you can help cure brain tumours quicker. Don't forget to like, subscribe and review. And until next time, you've been listening to the Motormouth podcast.
Even on a budget, Quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.